We are continuing our emotionally healthy spirituality, as you heard in our announcements. If you can fill out a Connect card, please do that. I'm super glad you're here. I'm super glad if you're watching online that you're joining us. Again, please fill out a Connect card. Let us know not only your favorite sports team, but also what are some things we can be praying for you and your family. We care about you. We're a church. We last week released an updated care brochure. I really want to encourage you to grab one of those on the way out. They're both on the events table and the resource table. It really talks about how our church cares for needs. We knew when we started the series, things were going to get kicked up in people's lives. That was prayerful. That was intentional, because you need to process these things. In fact, therapists say that unprocessed grief and unprocessed issues on the inside are one of the biggest causes of problems in our lives because we don't stop and process them. So please look at that care brochure. Understand that we're here as a church to help you grow and grow stronger. I want you to imagine this scenario with me. I've gone through some of this in my own life, but I want you to imagine the scenario. Health issue comes up in your life, it's your friend's life, your family's life, whatever. You go to the doctor, issue, the crisis is averted. It was a crisis, but now it's been averted. And the doctor, of course, is going to tell you, there are some things in life that you're going to have to change. You know what I'm talking about? You're tracking with me? And they say, tell me about your habits, your diet, your lifestyle. And then they go through these things and suddenly they start to go, you can't do that anymore. You can't do that anymore. You can't do that anymore. You guys tracking with me? Okay. Now, if you do those habits, it's great. If you don't do those habits, that crisis is highly likely to come back again. If you do those habits, it's not a guarantee the crisis will never return, but you are lowering the chances of the crisis coming. I want to use this as an analogy today because we're going to be talking about habits and spiritual health, emotionally healthy spirituality. The most of the series we've gone through, we've talked about being aware. Be aware of your past, being aware of your family history, being aware of grief that's going on inside. Today, we're going to be talking about how to prevent and how to actually take action forward. And it really boils down to our habits. No one likes talking about it, but in fact, this is one of the biggest things being talked about today. There's a ton. If you go on Amazon, you search for habits, you're going to see a ton of books all written within the last 10 years. This is a big thing today, whether it's anxiety, resilience, depression, a whole bunch of things. Leadership, this is really boiling down to what are you doing consistently over time? That makes a huge difference. This has been part of our church from day one. We started our church talking about seven habits. Those are the same seven habits we're going to talk about today because our church is all about transformation and you cannot be transformed without habits. Everything else is just going to be good intentions. So we're going to be diving into all of that, looking at Daniel. If you want to know more about Daniel, we did a whole sermon series on Daniel a few years ago, and it's called Faith in the Fire. I'm going to start with some prayer, and then we're going to go into Daniel. Dear Lord, thank you so much for my brothers and sisters here, the people who've made the choice to be here today. God, that's a great choice. It's an amazing choice. God, thank you for the people who've made being in your word and being with your people a consistent habit that changes life. Studies have shown it. Lord, today, help people to move from strength to even greater strength. Help us to evaluate the habits that we have in our lives, Lord, the good and the bad ones, and help us to take a step. We don't have to do it all. God, help us to take a step today. Lord, may this word not fall to the ground. I know it won't. But Lord, I just pray that powerful things happen today. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to be looking at Daniel 6. If you got a Bible, turn there. If you got a Bible app, turn there. We got Bibles all around the sanctuary. If you want to take notes, this might be a good one to be taking notes on. Just raise your hand if you don't have a bulletin. Our ushers will hand that to you. If you need a pen or anything else like that, you can take notes in your phone as well. As I was thinking about what we should be doing as we're looking at this and how to talk about Daniel, one of the favorite things I thought of was Daniel has enemies, and these enemies want to get him. And a great way to explain that is just to watch an old movie, a scene from an old movie called VeggieTales. So we're going to watch that together.
The very next morning, the wise men appeared before King Darius to try to trap Daniel with their scheme.
You wanted to see me?
We've got some news, good King Darius. We fear your position is precarious. There are some people here in Babylon who won't give you your due. They'd rather bow to other men.
Can this be so?
'Tis true.
Oh, dear.
We've brought a solution of our own design. If you'll just sign this paper on the dotted line. It's an edict stating most concisely what we're all to do. We must bow our heads or bend our knees before no one but you.
I see. Just one more time now, let's see if I've got this straight. A law to prove once and for all that I am great. If I'm the king, no one must doubt my full supremacy. So from this day forth, my citizens will pray to only me. Yes, but what if they don't?
If they don't obey, any citizen will be thrown into the lion's den.
Oh, yes? Well, I guess that would do it. All right, then. Good work, man. Ta-ta!
Okay, so that's the VeggieTales version. Now let's go into the Bible, Daniel chapter 6. Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdoms into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province, a satrap. The king also chose Daniel and his two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded her only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, "Long live King Darius! We're all in agreement. We administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors. That the king should make a law that should be strictly enforced." I'm not going to sing for you, sorry. "Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and the Persians that cannot be revoked." So King Darius signed the law. "Sounds great. You should only pray to me. Not a good plan." And when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual, or better translation, as was his habit. In his upstairs room with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. Commit to consistency in the rhythms of Christ. Daniel could have chosen compromise. It's so easy, especially when you're in a foreign land, to compromise. So easy to say, if these are the values of the lands, if these are the laws of the land, I have to do them. I have to follow along. My job's at stake. I'm going to lose my position. I'm going to lose my life. All these things that go through our heads. And what he does is he gets on his knees and he prays, because your habits are a rudder in the storms of life. They guide you to make sure you're still going in the right direction. And if you don't have a rudder, which direction are you going to go? Whichever way the current is taking you. You need to have a rudder, and intentions aren't enough. You need to commit to consistency in the habits of Christ, the rhythms of Christ. You got to commit to that. It's got to be consistency. Why consistency? I mean, why does that even need to happen? Well, Aristotle said, we are what we do consistently. We are what we do consistently or continually. The idea is your habits not only shape your behavior, they actually shape your character. Do you believe that? Your habits shape your character just as much as your intention. Intentions matter. But a lot of us, and if you want to know why people are thinking this these days, a lot of us, we judge other people on their actions, and we want them to judge us on our intentions. Your habits matter. Your habits reveal your character. You are what you do consistently. Christianity Today released their book of the year. It's called Overcoming Apathy. They didn't release it. They recognize it. It's by an author named Uche Anzanor. And he said this. This is talking about apathy. Apathy is a sickness of the soul. It's a deformity of heart that needs healing. Apathy, as many of us experience it, is a form of bondage. The reason apathy is such a big deal these days is when people are feeling overwhelmed and anxious, we use apathy as a defense mechanism to stop our hearts from feeling. The problem is you also stop your heart from feeling tender towards God and your loved ones and your own pain. You start becoming apathetic about everything. It's dangerous. So what does Anzanor recommend? He recommends, like every author recommends when they're talking about something, you got to get rid of the wrong habits and you got to start putting in the right habits to grow the right sensitivity with boundaries into your life. You need to overcome apathy. That's the theme of the book. I recommend you picking it up. Recently, some of you know this. I think I've shared this. My family and I got a new dog. He's under a year old. His name is Basil. And it's just so great. You got a puppy. He's a lot of energy. He's a lot of time. And I don't know about you. I learned so much about myself and about God from my pets. I learned from my cat. I do love cats, if any of you don't think I do. I learned the importance of just cuddling together and just being there in the hard times and just all that, almost like seeking attention sometimes, right? From my dog, I learned that just when I come home, he's just super happy to see me. And I love the idea of how do I greet people? Am I greeting people with that sort of joy and excitement and energy? It just perks you up. You're like, man, this animal's really happy to see me. And just thought, how do I do that? And how do I have that dependence on God? Well, Basil, because he's just a puppy, when I come home, he's sitting on this chair, looking out the window. And then when I pull my car up, he starts bouncing around and he starts getting excited. And then I come to the door and he's wagging his tail. He's not just wagging his tail. He's wagging his butt. You know, he's doing this. And I'm not going to do this when I say hi to you during potluck, but just, can you imagine just like, hi, 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 how are you doing? He's just so happy and he wants to jump up. He wants to jump up and he's just, whoa, 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 whoa. He's a husky. Whoa, 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 whoa. And I just have to sit there and say, sit. Because at first I didn't do this. And then he started jumping up on visitors and people coming to our house. Well, that's not okay. That's not going to make him happy. It's not going to make me happy. I love when I read my dog training manual, it said a disciplined dog is a happy dog because they live for the approval of their master. And I realized that's the same with you and me. It means we need discipline. So I have to sit there and he just sits. He's just sitting there. He can't stand it. And then I finally kneel down, say, okay. And he just, blah, 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 blah. But we need discipline. And here's the thing. He needs my discipline. He needs my consistency. He needs to know it's going to be the same rule every time, because if not, he's going to find the exception to that rule and then he's going to run away. And then it's not going to be good. He's not going to find that joy anymore. We need consistency. And you actually have to commit to this. If you want to know transformation, because we've studied transformation in our church, how does it happen? First, you need enough information to make a decision. So that's why we teach. That's why we talk about the Bible. That's why but then you actually have to make a decision. Information alone isn't going to change you. You have to make a decision based on that information. But if you don't follow up that decision with a series of smaller decisions called habits, that decision isn't going to stick. This is when you go to a retreat, you make this decision for Jesus, you don't follow it up with any habits, and the decision doesn't matter because you're not following up with actual habits and rhythms and character change. I like the word rhythm because it's more than just balance. I know a lot of us like the word balance. Balance is okay, but there are certain things in your life you need zero of. And I don't want to balance Jesus in my life. I want 100% Jesus. I like the word rhythm because Christ has a cadence and many of us got no rhythm to our lives. And when you walk with Jesus, you're going to be smooth like jazz. You're going to have rhythm in your life. Life's going to throw things at you and you just stay on time. You just keep your cadence. You keep the cadence of Christ. Doesn't matter what's happening in the music, you stay on time. You stay in that rhythm that Christ sets. And when Christ rests, you rest. When Christ moves, you move. You learn how to live that way, and it gives you a rudder in the storm. Changes everything. Don't you feel like you need some of that right now? Pete Scazzaro in his book talks about most of us, all of us have rhythms, but most of us, if you're here, you probably have some sort of spiritual rhythms in your life. But his point is this, what we're doing isn't enough. What we're doing isn't enough. I know a lot of people, when they start talking about rhythms and life and margins and boundaries, they go, well, I'm just going to cut back on church because it's not working. You don't need to cut back. You need to double down. How often did Daniel pray? 3 times a day. Scazzaro mentions that. He mentions stopping 3 times in your day. Most of us can't do 10-minute devotions in the morning. And if you're struggling with that, that's okay. That might be your first step. But his point is, in the world and the challenges that we have today, once a day isn't going to be enough. Here's how you know. Here's how you know. Because we can get really trapped in habits. We can talk too much about it. Here's how you know. The rhythms of Jesus are going to produce the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of hard work, although you need to do work. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So here's the question. Is your life overflowing and fruiting and dropping fruit and producing love, joy, peace, patience? I won't even go further than that. I know I've already lost all of you, right? We could go on to kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. But let's just start there. Love, that's a tough one because we define love differently. But let's go on to the next one. Joy. Are you like, man, I got so much joy. It's just coming out of my ears right now. Most of us won't say that. We're beat down by the world. And yet we still go, how do I get that joy? Man, I need to keep scrolling through stuff. I need to keep doing activity. I need to take a second or third job. I need to get myself more busy because that's going to bring me more joy and peace. I don't feel like I have it. Well, at what point do you say, maybe I need to reevaluate the things I'm doing, the rhythms I got, so we can live into the cadence of Christ and the rhythm of Jesus, right? If you want to have that rhythm of Jesus, it's been shown in the Bible. It's been shown in history over and over and over and over and over again. It's been shown in our own lives. When you're walking in the cadence of Christ, you have joy. You have peace, even in a world of anxiety. And you have patience with the sin and the faults of others. You're not easily offended. You're not judgy. You have patience with yourself. That's how you know you're on the right track for the right rhythms. And for most of us, says Pete Scazzaro in the book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, it's not that we have no love for Jesus, not that we have no rhythms, it's that we don't have enough. We need more. We need to find ways to get more deeper rhythms in our lives because life is very challenging. Okay? Some times to really evaluate what you're doing in your life is actually a season every year in church that we have in the Christian calendar. It's called Lent. That's a time where you go, how am I doing on my habits? What do I need to cut out of my life? Maybe temporarily, like I'm just not going to have soda during Lent, right? I've seen some people go off social media, whatever. Maybe permanently, like I'm going to try to live a whole day without complaining because the Bible says do everything without arguing and complaining. I'm going to try to do that. People are avoiding eye contact from me right now. That's okay. That's okay. I know this is getting tough. I know this is tough. And it might be different for each of you, right? Someone's already like, I got something to complain about right now from what you just said. Who knows what it is? Maybe it's something you're going to add in. I'm going to add in this thing in my life. I'm going to try to have prayer during my lunchtime. I'm doing pray in the morning. I'm going to pray at night. I'm going to add these things in. I'm going to have 45 minutes of silence. Some of you are like, let's make that 15, right? And whatever that is of just processing your own thoughts, just having time where you're not just verbal vomit on everybody. Just, I'm just going to process with God on my own or journaling. Who knows what it's going to be? Ash Wednesday and Lent are great time. Whether you can make the service or not, and I hope you can, but even if you can't, take some time to go, what do I need out? Maybe permanently, maybe temporarily. What do I need in? It's a great time to do that. Now, in the rest of Daniel 6, many of you know the story. I'm going to summarize it real quick. Daniel does pray. He does get in trouble. So just real quick, following the rhythms of Jesus doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems in your life. So let's just dispel that little transactional lie right now. Jesus, I was doing what you told me to do and bad things happen. I thought you promised me nothing bad would happen. Is that in the Bible? No, that was in your head. That's what you adopted. If you were a good boy or girl, nothing bad's going to happen. The Bible says if you're good, then bad people are going to attack you, but God's going to be with you. Okay? So you're going to go through the storms no matter what. You got God with you. So Daniel's thrown into the lion's den. Darius is all freaked out because he loves Daniel. Daniel's just amazing. And then Darius is up fretting about it and worrying about it. And then he opens the door. Daniel, are you alive? And Daniel says, yes, God shut the mouths of the lions. And Darius, because he's Darius, decides, hey, you know what's a great idea? Let's throw the other administrators in there. So he just wipes up the entire leadership of his country in one fell swoop. Rather than going, hey, maybe I was an idiot for making a law that tells everyone to pray to me. That's a whole nother leadership and responsibility story. We're not going to go into that right now because I want to keep it focused on what we need to be thinking about. Okay. Resilience comes from having the right rhythms. Resilience comes from having the right rhythms. Because of everything that's been going on, there's been a lot of talk about how do we grow resilience? How does it come in our lives? Resilience comes from having the right rhythms. Resilience means when the darts come at you, you're good. Resilience comes when the stress is there, you know what to say no to, you know what to say yes to. Resilience comes when you keep your focus on the North Star, even when the night is dark. Resilience. That's what we're all about in this church. We have this is our mission statement. This is our vision right here. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. You know that fruit we were talking about, right? That fruit, apart from me, you can do nothing. Our vision is to transform people's lives. Transformed. That means change. That means if you're religious or irreligious, to be fully devoted to Jesus. It's the most important thing in life. It's more important than anything that's going to happen today is to be loyal and follower of Jesus. And I tell you, a lot of the people on that field today at the Super Bowl, they know that. They know the number one thing in life is not if they win. It's if they're followers of Christ. And do you think any of them, not just the people on the field, the people in the sportscaster booth, the trainers, anyone, do you think anyone could be there without discipline? No. No, we need strong habits in our lives. In our church, we've talked about them. We've talked about discipleship. This is a root, not a habit. Discipleship is loving, being loved by God. How do you orient your life so that your cup is facing up? So that you can let God pour into you. Okay, you can let yourself be loved by God. I don't know if you know this, it's the most tragic thing as a pastor. A lot of people struggle with letting God love them. They struggle with their self-worth, okay? And then loving God in return. Fellowship is loving God's family. And I know there's no perfect family. This church is not perfect. No church is perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But we love each other in grace and truth. And then mission, going, joining the Holy Spirit who's already out there working for justice, who's out there working to help people in need, who's out there trying to bring people closer to Christ and closer to Christ's family. That's the mission. We join the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's already out there doing that. Okay? Being willing to take a stand. Those are things that are important. That's a mission. But there are habits that we can do. Okay? Here's the basic idea. You might want to, this is a cute little quote. Caring about your teeth is not the same thing as caring for your teeth. Does that make sense? Caring about your teeth is not the same thing as caring for your teeth. I can go, my teeth are super important. And my hygienist is going to go, doesn't look like it. Now I can argue with them and say, don't you tell me what's important to me and not important to me. And they go, well, are you flossing? And I'm like, no. Do you brush your teeth twice a day? No. Do you even try mints? Okay, so that's a whole nother thing. But do you see what I'm saying? This is the conversations I have with people all the time. I go, look, you can't just care about Jesus. You actually have to care for your spiritual life. You have to nurture it. You have to take care of it. You have to develop it. And they go, don't you tell me that Jesus isn't important to me. And I go, but let's talk about your habits. And no one wants to talk about them because we're sensitive about it. And then we go, why don't I have the fruit of the Spirit? And then this breaks my heart. Then people go, well, if it's not working, then why keep going? Then why keep doing it? I might as well just get out. It's not working. And then they go in and they start going into the habits of entertainment or overwork or trying to get approval from other people. And again, I'm not against entertainment or work. But when you're trying to use those to give you the fruit of the Spirit, it's not going to work. And we're talking here about flourishing life, overflowing life. This is how it has to happen, right? You and me, we at least back when we were young, we were like puppies wagging our butts, right? And we need some discipline so we can have that fruitful, flourishing life. Here's the habits we talk about in our church. God's word, offering, and worship and rest. That's under discipleship. How do you actually point your cup up? Spending time in God's word, 1, 2, 3 times a day. Maybe at the beginning, you're just going to start with one time a week. Just what's your next step? Life is a journey. Stop comparing yourselves to others. Just do your next step and make it happen. Hey, on Wednesday morning, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this happen. Or at the night before I go to bed, I'm going to do a prayer of kind of just, God, I'm going to forgive me from those things. I know it's all covered by you. I don't have to earn it. I just need to accept it. I'm forgiven. You do that. Spending time in God's word, offering. You tend to love most what you spend most on. You tend to love most what you spend most on. Jesus says, where your gifts are, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Okay? As you start to change your giving, you actually change your heart and actually point your cup up to God. It's an amazing thing. It's a fruitful thing. It's an overflowing thing. It's an important habit. And I know no one likes to talk about money, especially in church, but I would be lying to you if I was to say, hey, do you want to have your heart transformed? And we're not going to talk about your money. It's in the Bible, and I got to make sure I tell you about it because you cannot transform your life without talking about your finances. It's just part of life. Does that make sense? It would be like saying, hey, I want to get married to my wife, but let's not ever talk about money. I'm not going to spend any money on you, but I love you more than anything. Well, that's not going to work. We all know that. It's the same with God, okay? And then worship and rest. You're here. You're doing worship. It's been shown that that actually grows things, but also rest and Sabbath, super important habits. And most of us don't have them. Most of us were raised on the busier you are, the better you are. Right? A person with rest is a lazy person, is what many of us believe to our bones. And we got to go back to scripture and go, man, Jesus was so lazy, he didn't really accomplish much in his life. He was sleeping in the boat. Right? And we got to re-examine our lives in light of Christ. All of us do. Fellowship habits, being in groups, being in groups. This is a huge thing in our entire culture. There's people just saying through COVID and before, you need to get into a group of people. You need to have some support. But in church, we actually center not around our own needs. We center around God's word. And we say, here are my needs, but also how can I line up with God's word? And it changes you. And we serve together in our life groups. It makes a huge difference. Okay. And then being on a ministry team. There's something that changes when you come to church and it looks more like a family where you're helping things come together than it does like a movie theater where you're watching a performance and evaluating how good or bad it was. There's something that will change in you. There's fruit that will be born in you where you will start to go, how do I do this and do this well? It actually becomes your family rather than just something that you attend. Okay? That's a habit. Mission, evangelism, actually joining the Holy Spirit, saying, I'm going to invite people. And I love asking people, when's the last time you invited someone to church? And they go, I can't remember. When's the last time you talked about Jesus? I can't remember. And I go, that might be an area God's going to grow you in. Finding a way to make that a habit. On your prayer cards, we got little prayer cards all around the sanctuary. Every few months, we have an emphasis. This one is eat together. Hey, it's like that's just what we talked about during announcements. Finding a way to eat together with people and draw them closer to Christ. Okay? And then impact, serving people's needs, working for justice, getting out there and helping people in the name of Jesus, making that a habit in your life, not a, hey, I did this once a year and for Love Modesto, which is great, but I'm going to make that a regular thing in my life. It's powerful, whatever that is. Now, here's a plan of action. Number one, write it down. Those are 7 habits that I want to encourage you to see. Get them into your life. And those aren't the only 7. I already talked about silence and meditation and journaling and a bunch of other things you can do. Get those habits into your life. Write down, what's your plan? A couple of years ago, our church did a media fast. And it changed people because suddenly like, I stopped watching the news in the middle of the election cycle, in the middle of COVID, and suddenly I felt way less anxious. It was crazy. And they stopped doing the news, they stopped doing TV, and suddenly like, I just realized there's other people who live in my house. They're called family. I was talking to them. It was crazy. I was like enjoying our company because we couldn't watch TV because we made this habit for a temporary amount of time. So we're playing board games and we're talking and we're competing. It's still really, really fun. And they started doing these things. A year later comes by, beginning of this year, actually 2 years, beginning of this year, people come and say, can we do the media fast again? And I said, well, we're not going to do it as a whole church, but you can do it on your own. They go, no, I need you to tell me to do it. And I said, you don't. Just do what you know you need. Make that happen. Write down your plan of action. My hope today, my prayer today, you heard me pray at the beginning, is that this wouldn't just be information that falls on the ground, that you would say, this is actually how life works. If you want to be in a sport, you got to have, choose to be on the sport, and then you have to have the habits to be on that sport and get better. If you want to be in a relationship, you choose to be in the relationship, and then you have to have the habits to live in that relationship with health. If you want to have a good walk with God, you have to choose to walk with God, but then you have to have the habits of doing it. Okay? Resilience only comes from having the right rhythms. Caring about your teeth isn't the same thing as caring for your teeth. You have habits in your life. How can you grow your spiritual habits that can happen? Number two is tell other people because you need accountability. We all need accountability. Tell people who love you enough to ask you, how are you doing on that? How are you doing on that? Okay. If my staff email me on their day off, because I tell all of them to tell me when their day off is, I go, why are you emailing me on your day off? This happened just this week. And this person said, well, I moved my day off to Saturday. I said, okay. All right. Yeah, we'll see. Is that your day off? I need more patience, is what he said. From the mouth of babes. Okay. Number three is this. Ask for God's grace and strength. Ask for God's grace so that as you're living a disciplined life, as you're living a life of rhythm, that you don't evaluate your worth on your performance. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, covered by the blood of Jesus, your worth is not in what you do. Your worth is not in what you don't do. You are a child of the Father. If you fail in all of your habits, it will not change your worth one bit. This is the gospel. Don't evaluate yourself based on how your habits do. And honestly, this is the number one reason people stop doing their habits, because they feel worthless. They feel like they are worthless. Not that the habits are worthless. They feel worthless because they couldn't accomplish them. Commit to doing that with grace. Commit to doing it with God's strength, because we do need habits to grow in that love. Okay? Find a way to do that. In our church, we have an online tool called a spiritual check-in. It's an Excel document. It's not super great, but if you're in a life group, your life group leader has a spreadsheet. And what's great about it is you can see trends. You can kind of go, how's my spiritual tank been? Am I doing my devotions? Am I actually diving into God's word? When's the last time I shared my faith? And as we started talking about this, there were some people in our church who were saying to us, hey, you don't have the right to ask me about this stuff. And I said, what do you think Covenant Grove means when we talk about life at the roots? The roots is the inner life. That's all we're about. That's all we, what do you think I'm here to do as your pastor? Not talk about your inner life? That's what we're all about. The inner life is where the fruit comes from. And they would get it and they would grumble a little bit. So I'm out with a newer leader coming to church. She's just coming on board. We're out there talking and I'm explaining this to her. Like, hey, we really care about your inner life. We really care about your walk with Jesus. We're going to ask you about your habits. We're going to do this online spiritual check-in. And I'm almost apologetic about it. And she finally stops me and she goes, why are you apologizing this? I would never want to be in a church that didn't care about me like that. And I went, okay, good. Okay, here we go. Let's do this thing. And I just got fired up and I'm just like, yes, yes. Like, that's who we are. We're going to care about you. You walk in the door, we're not going to start asking about your inner life, but we're going to go, how are you? Let's talk to you. If you want to be anonymous, you're in the wrong church. We're going to care about you. We're going to talk about you. We're going to ask about your life. We're going to ask about your walk with Jesus. And then as you grow down this pathway, as you're a leader, you grow deeper into those roots together, deeper into that transparency, deeper into that strength that comes from Christ. It makes a huge difference. This is the mission of our church, friends. And yes, we're going through emotionally healthy spirituality. And yes, it might feel like, oh my gosh, you're paying attention to this. We've been doing this since day one. We started in the middle of a national crisis. We've been doing this since day one, transforming people's lives, connecting them to Jesus, and living lives of rhythm. I'll give you one more quote as we wrap up. It's from Ruth Haley Barton. She says this, most of us are more tired than we know at the soul level. We are teetering on the brink of dangerous exhaustion, and we really cannot do anything else until we've gotten some rest. I hope it feels like good news today that the Father's first habit for you, dear children, is rest. That's the first habit. In our church, we talk about rest and boundaries and margin. Now, here's the thing with rest. God is not asking you to rest so that you can say yes to everything else and no to the rhythms of Christ. Some of that rest needs to come from the overexertion you're doing other places so that you can say yes to Him. The first habit is rest. And I hope today, I hope this week, you can rest in Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we are your children. We're here humbly to follow you. Help us to live in your gospel. Help us to rest as your children. Jesus, we love you. And I pray for my brothers and sisters in here that they will find a plan to grow their habits deeper to you. May these words, again, not just fall on the ground. Lord, may there be some action today. Help us to encourage each other and support each other every step of the way. In Jesus' name. Amen.